Today is April 1st. The season is underway. Jared Jones gets 10 punch-outs in his debut, and your Pirates are 4-0. Let's talk Pirates baseball. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast.
Yins guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. Great. Why wouldn't it be great?
Why is it great?
I mean, the Pirates won the first opening day. What?
Four games?
They won?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
All four.
All four?
And Key Brian Hayes got them brooms out.
Key Brian Hayes got multiple hits.
Totally missed three games.
It's all good.
Well, this is a little bit of a April Fool's thing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I
tried to play it cool there for a minute. You know what I mean?
So your name's not Josh.
Yes, it is.
All right, we're going to pause this and then we'll get back. Say bye, Keely.
My name's not Keely.
Give him a Let's Go Bucks.
Let's Go Bucks.
All right, we're back here. We just wanted to have a little bit of fun on April Fool's Day and... Of course, she always wants to jump in and do stuff.
What's
so,
what's your best April Fool's joke you've done?
Definitely when I had all of the professors at college believing that I was dropping out. I had the president of the college in on it. I mean, so that was definitely the one.
That's pretty.
I had them coming in and pulling me out of class to help sign papers. And they were so upset. And it was like a tech school, so it's a different atmosphere than like university, whatever, right? I had the same people I had like two instructors, basically, for all my stuff, right? And it's just kind of the way it went. And they were just so upset. They were like, you're doing fine. And I was like, I can't handle it. Yeah, definitely. Like, and they were all in. I had a buddy of mine, you know Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
We got in an argument out in the hallway. Where he was like screaming at me and I was just, we started it 2 weeks before it happened.
Oh my gosh. That's planning right there. That's planning.
That's definitely the best one. And I kept saying all the time, like, I don't do April Fool's jokes because I joke every day of the year. That's my day off. And that was how we set most of it up.
Yeah. I was grade school. I had my school convinced we were moving to Colorado.
I remember that.
My dad was going to quit his job and sell peanuts at Coors Field.
I can't believe they bought that.
So stupidly funny.
Yeah. So anyway, very exciting times here because we just finished the sweep.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not an April Fool's joke.
That's not an April Fool's joke. I mean, you come into this weekend saying, oh, the Pirates are going to be 4-0. They're going to sweep the Marlins in Miami. Bailey Falter is going to start one of those games. And that's enough right there where you're going to be like, it's never going to happen. And to boot, saying like, oh, and this team's going to score 31 runs. And you're going to say, listen, I'm optimistic, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's so, you know, we've talked about this, I don't know how many times, it's so hard to get a sweep, and it's even harder to sweep a four-game series.
On the road, I mean, your goal,
when
you look at the season and you're saying, all right, ideally, right, if good teams are going to swing more of these things than whatever teams, but like, you want to win a series on the road, right, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Any three-game series you want to win, whether it's home or road, 2-1, you want to win that series. That's the most important thing. You go to these four-game sets, and you want to split, especially on the road. You'd like at home like good teams to say we want to win this series. Mm-hmm. On the road, you're okay with a split. You really are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, wrap it up quick. And then it's like, oh, sweet. Now Bailey Falter's going to throw and we're good. We got the series.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have your comments about the lineups and all that stuff. But guys, come on. It's a Sunday lineup for a reason. The reason is you've already got you already have the series locked down. You've got your three games. And you have to give these guys days off. There's no better day to do it than to do it when you've already got the series locked up. You have 26 guys for a reason. You're going to ask those guys, namely speaking, Williams and DeLay at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You're going to ask them to step up, and they have to. And if they don't, that's the story of your season, right? If all you get done is your core players, and when they get days off, you lose, that's what your season's going to be. You're going to say, well, right, we're not deep. We're not a good enough team to be a good team.
Yeah.
If you can have guys step up off the bench, step up and play well, it's going to be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I mean, I saw good things out of both of them. I mean, not like I'm like impressed with their play or whatnot, but like, I don't know, Lika puts a good swing on a ball down in the zone and gets a hit. Say what you want about the defensive play, it was a hit either way. And DeLay laying that bunt down, like that's, mm-hmm, that squeeze.
Well, and even Alika's bunt. Man.
And Alika's bunt.
And he was moving it down the line, right? And so, mm-hmm, he put pressure on the pitcher. The pitcher drops the ball, absolutely. If he doesn't, he's probably out at first with a good throw, but he's not able to throw that ball. So both of those bunts, and I mean, Jake, how many times have we seen guys just not get bunts down?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not even talk about whether they're safe. We can't even do a sacrifice bunt anymore. And you had two of them back to back. And we're talking the first series of the season.
Yeah. And I don't know. This is a little bit important to me, the fact that it was our backups doing it. That's to me, that's important because like you're getting a shot and I need you to do this for me.
Yeah. Well,
and they went out and got the job done.
Let's also say, how about you get into a situation where you need a bunt down? Those are your guys that you have sitting there and you're like, hey, we can count on them.
Yep.
Let's pinch hit here and get that bunt down.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a situation where, you know what I'm saying, where you need to do that. Now, obviously the game today calls for a lot less bunts. I was actually interested. I thought it was interesting to see him do it. I mean, when you're the away team, you don't play for one run, especially when Bednar's already out of the game. You're playing for two because they got a guy at second. So
I think that would have been a different story had Alika just sacrificed him over and got out. You got one out, you're not squeezing.
Right. Yeah, you don't do two bunts. But that's right. What I'm saying. Even Alika laying down that bunt, like you're playing for one run there.
Yeah.
Not two. And I mean, you're also just saying, like, what's your confidence level in Alika getting a hit here? Get some sort of production. Yeah, you also see a team that, I mean, like the Pirates won four straight games, but there have been situations with a guy on second, nobody out, and we're not able to bring him in. I mean, we just played how many innings on Thursday? 12 innings because the 10th and 11th, we didn't get a run across.
Yeah.
So I guess it is fair to say, let's get that run across. And you also had a Marlins team on Thursday who went three innings without getting a run across. So actually in that case, you're like, hey, let's play for one. They can't score. I mean, that's kind of way you feel, that's right?
Good. Yeah. I get that. And that just goes to like the game changes. Every game changes. The situations change. You have updated information. You watch what's going on in the games prior. Like it's more than just analytics.
Yeah, it is interesting, and you know, I still think you don't play for one, and I think that's a lot of times why. I mean, the away teams actually in extra innings with the Manfred runner, the away teams have fared better, and I think a lot of that is probably in the fact that they're not playing for one run, they are trying to score more than one run, and it's working out for them more times than not in that sense. So. Like I said, I wouldn't do it on a normal situation, but maybe with Alika up. And the other piece of that is like, what are you getting out of DeLay if you do move him up? Because now you got DeLay. And do you Do you trust him to get him in? That's the other thing. You know what I mean? Delay was 0 for 3 in the game. Yeah, 0 for 3. No strikeouts, though. He put the ball in play, so maybe that is the situation that you go for. Either way, execution was there. We end up tacking on another run. I don't think that the Pirates have played a complete game yet.
I could agree with that.
I don't think they've played a complete game. There's been some defensive things. There's been some base running things. Starting pitching was bad. Really, 17 strikeouts in the opener. I know those extra innings, right? But like Luzardo's a beast too, so I get that. Yeah. But there was a little bit of, you know, they didn't strike out 17 times, right? So that's the thing. I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess we still had the Cruz error on Saturday. Saturday was a pretty good game. You could call that a complete game. I still feel like there were some things. But,
sure.
I mean, it's the blowout, you know what I mean, of the group. Yeah. So there is a little bit of that. But, let's get into some of this. Let's do a couple quick hits. We'll get back into the Marlins series here in a second. I like that opening conversation. We kind of talked about some of this already. Paul Skeens made his season debut in Louisville on Saturday. 3 innings, 5 Ks, no walks, no hits.
Nasty.
Nasty. Not surprising. Very impressive.
So they talked about it on MLB Network. What was it? 21 pitches registered in triple digits.
Are you serious?
I don't 21 think that, fastballs.
21?
Something like that.
I don't remember that. I know he averaged 100.8, I think, his fastball did.
It's crazy.
I don't know about 21. I don't know. I mean, maybe, right? I didn't see that. I wasn't even sure he threw much more than 21 pitches. And 3 innings, 5, I mean, he's like, nobody's on base.
Right.
He only faced 15 guys. I guess, yeah, you're throwing 21 pitches for sure.
Yeah.
So, that was a dumb statement.
It's okay.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, we got a lot of comments about and this is not just from Pirates fans. Like I heard it from a couple different places. He's ready. I don't know why you're doing this. He's ready. Just get him there. He's one of your best pitchers. And I just can't help but think, like, hey, the whole reason he's down there is the 5-day rotation. He threw one game. He hasn't pitched on five. He hasn't pitched on a fifth day yet.
And he's only throwing 3 innings right now.
And he only threw 3 innings, which says he's not ready. Unless you're trying to say bring him up and pitch him in the bullpen, he's not ready. So calm down a little bit. The talent is there without question.
Yeah, no one's questioning.
I don't even think that I'm worried now as we were last year where we were saying, well, there's some command issues. I'm not even worried about that, Jake.
Right.
He's good. Command looks fine to me.
Yeah.
We saw kind of the evolution of that the arm side miss on the changeup, and it feels like he's dialing that in. So like this guy's an animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to miss for long because he's special.
Right.
It's literally about let's see him go 5-6 innings at least twice in a row. Right? I mean, am I at least twice in a row?
Yeah, at least.
So, no, I'm not. Not going there. Okay, Kanan Smith and Jigba cleared waivers, accepted his assignment to Indy. He's going to Indy. Ollie Sanchez cleared as well. He's elected free agency. No news on Jackson Wolf yet. It's possible he hasn't been placed on waivers. That's normal. I saw a post from Ethan Houlihan that said it takes about 2 days to clear waivers. And you've got 7, really, before you have to make a decision on what you're doing with him. And so he doesn't have to be placed on waivers on the first day. So if they're trying to work out a trade before they place him on waivers, then that's possibly what they're trying to do. A little bit more value there than what you'd get out of the other two. So there is a chance that a team does bite on that. And if not, then he goes on waivers and then there's a whole other process on that. So we'll hear soon, but it's, if he clears and we get to keep a hold of him for depth, I think that's a huge win. Not that I'm super excited about him, but you know what I mean? If you have a guy like that and it's like, oh crap, we had you know, three guys go down or something like that, and you start to pinch into that. Well, Skeens is already up. Jones is still here. Ortiz is in the rotation already. We really don't want to go with Roansy. You'd rather throw a guy like Jackson Wolf up there than, like, make some kind of rash move on if maybe Ashcraft isn't ready to step in, or, like, even worse, like Bubba Chandler before he's ready or something like that. You know what I mean? So yeah. That depth is important. I know there's – I'm not even, like – chipping the iceberg here, or whatever, however that stupid statement is, tripping over my words here tonight. Anyway, you know, you're not even Eric Lauer, Domingo, you know what I mean? Like, there's other guys down there too. So,
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? That's a pretty big depth thing, but man, that, you know the deal. You can never have too many pitchers.
Nope.
And I feel like that's it, especially when, and it's, for some reason this isn't on here, JT Brubaker traded this week to the Yankees for a player to be named later. They threw in some bonus pool allowance or bonus. How's that work?
Yeah,
it's not real money, right? No, it's just what you're allowed to spend.
Yeah.
So, interesting move there. From what we're hearing, six or seven teams, maybe. I don't really know. Might have been interested. So, I don't know how this. You know, I don't know how this stuff works. It seemed early on like, oh, yeah, for me, like just my opinion, not what I thought the Pirates were doing. But I was like, he's an arbitration guy. You're not going to really use him if you like everybody in front of him. So you may as well deal him. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's not. I mean, were calling, though.
Yeah, and you have an arm like, I don't want to say an arm like his, but you do. I mean, he's a serviceable major league pitcher. He's not a bum, and he's not an ace.
Yeah,
but he's a serviceable major league pitcher. He's a fit any rotation, 3-4, you know, in the rotation.
4-5,
any depending on the team, anywhere from 3-5.
And depending on how he comes back from the surgery.
Right.
I'm saying four, and, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, you might as well. You just got a couple guys just right on the cusp. And realistically, I don't see Brubaker fitting into the rotation.
I was wondering what you would think about that. And there's also the idea that, like, hey, with Brubaker comes back and we can get him to throw that fastball, the two-seamer with the slider, and just work him out of the bullpen. Like, he could be, we've talked about that before, he's got strikeout stuff. The slider's really good. And if he could throw the fastball with that slider, I feel like you've got something there out of the bullpen. But it's also like, if he doesn't want to pitch out of the bullpen, this could be one of those things where they say, we'll honor that. This is the path we have for you, but maybe somebody else would have another one. I think there's probably a little bit of like, what if he doesn't come back in July? He's saying he's going to be back before the All-Star break. What if he doesn't? Yeah. What if he's not back until mid-August? What if it doesn't work well? You know what I'm saying? So I think that there's a little bit of unknown, and I wonder if we won't know the player to be named later until we find out when he comes off the IL, or even how he does when he comes off. Like, if he stinks, it's like you're not getting that guy. But if he's really good, you'd be like, all right, we'll part with that guy. This has been very valuable to us. I don't really know. Like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot of...
I don't know how long that... Like, how long do you have to state the player? You know what I mean?
I've seen a couple things. I think Gary mentioned on Twitter to somebody else that, like, we never even got our player to be named later in the Corey Dickerson trade. So, like, I don't understand that. I didn't remember that, but he made that comment. So I was like, oh, dang. I think it's like 6 months. I mean, I think you've got time.
A lot of time.
It's later. I've seen it, you know, I believe I've seen it when I'm looking through transactions. I've seen it like off season, all of a sudden. Player to be named later is announced in the offseason. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
it's wild.
I don't really know. Yeah, it is wild. So overall, he's a good pitcher, though. He has depth. We've been saying his name when we're talking about depth. And so I don't know, man. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how the season plays out. So that's all we have here for the quick touch. Let's get back to the Marlins series because it's a sweep and we're excited and we're 4-0. We're sitting in first place with two of your guys. Now, we talked a lot about predictions and hot takes and all those things. And we're high on O'Neill Cruz like everyone is and should be. And you and I are both high on Jack Sawinski, and that's kind of a, you know, that's a toss up for a lot of people, but we're high on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great start, but come on, like four lefties. He didn't even play the first two games, like as far as start. And there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of something to that. You got to let guys get in a routine. And if you're not a guy who's literally playing this whole game, then you got to let that routine kind of play out a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You like, even if it is a routine of not playing all the time, which I believe Jack is going to be playing more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
Lizardo's a beast. He's very good.
Yeah.
AJ Puck, I don't think necessarily will work out as a starter. He's been a reliever for like 180 games of his career. This is his first major league start. And he kind of showed that a little bit, right? But in the first few innings, like, he has strikeout stuff. He always has. And so that's a tough matchup for a lefty too.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of made the comment like, hey, we've got three lefties in our lineup who generally struggle against lefties. Now, Cruz least of the bunch because he can still do damage against a lefty. Tellez actually has a higher batting average against left-handed pitching than he does against right-handed pitching for his career. He's not a platoon-type player. He does all of his damage, though, against righties. And when I say he's got a better batting average and on-base percentage, Jake, like, he's fine against lefties. He's going to give you everything he gives you against righties except the power. And like I said, the batting averages are like 230 against righties and 240 against lefties. So it's not like it's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it is like, hey, he handles them. He still puts together good at bats.
He's still the same, basically the same hitter.
He's without power. Without power, right? And so, but the home run on Sunday, he goes into that 0 for 0 and 3. And I'll talk about this a little bit later, but he was 0 for 3 with 3 Ks. And I think there's something to getting those looks the whole game that made him ready to have the at-bat he had, right? And like I said, I have things to say about that, and I'll get into it. But it's the same for all these guys. Pinch hitting is not easy. Game one, Olivares hits a pinch hit home run to make it look easy, but it's not easy, right? And some guys need to know that they're in the game to be ready for certain situations. And that's not like a, well, if he was good, he would be. That's not true. Actually, most of the guys who are good at pinch hitting are guys who aren't good enough to start.
Yeah.
Because they're used to that, right? So before you go off, you know, yelling at your radio or whatever, that's just not true. But let's talk about some of the things that happened this week, because you did have four straight lefties. You did have kind of some lineups that you didn't expect with O'Neill Cruz down in the lineup. You changed things up. I mean, before the first game, Jake, they interviewed the players, who's going to hit the first home run. And like two or three of them was like, well, probably Cruz, cause he's our leadoff guy. And then he didn't hit leadoff one game. So, and I don't think he's going to against lefties. And the more you,
I don't think so either.
I guess when you're looking at what's going on, what would be the reason to change anything?
Right.
But,
right.
All right. So let's talk about some things. Three home runs in the first game. We had the Cruz home run. We had Olivares, the pinch hit I just talked about. Reynolds also homered in that one. Mitch Keller's game one, not necessarily sharp. What do you have there?
Yeah. I mean, so I rewatched this game because I had to work, and you sent me the text. Watch Keller, see what you see. Didn't have great command of the sweeper. Couldn't land it in the zone. And they kind of just were spitting on it a lot. And then they were getting decent pitches to hit. And even like, I mean, you had the error on what could have been a crucial double play.
Yeah.
There's just, he didn't get hit hard.
Okay.
He really didn't get hit that hard.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
I was sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm just, you can't get him to chase because you're not landing any of these pitches, any of the slurves in the zone. And when you can't throw it for a strike, they know it.
Yeah.
But he still had that cutter in the two seam working, man.
He did though. He did get hit hard. I mean, I'm looking, there's several 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, that's 5, 6, 7, 8. There's like 8 hard hits against him. That's 95 plus, right? So that's any ball that goes over 95 is considered a hard hit. But when I hover over them, I mean, we're talking 106. 112 was one of them. 98, 100, 102, 108, 100, and 109.8. I think a lot of those, the 112 was Jake Berger. He had 212 hits that day. The other one was against Luis Ortiz. But, I mean, they hit some balls hard off of him. So, but it felt like it wasn't, I don't know, all in all, I mean, it's four earned runs and one that was unearned. And only three strikeouts. So, like you said, they're spitting on the sweeper. It wasn't sharp. And I think that's, I think you put that well. It's going to get better, right? I don't think there was anything that I was too necessarily worried about. It's just first season. Hey, last year he gave up four runs in Cincinnati to start off the year too, and he settled in after that.
Yeah. It was just a little frustrating to see some of the guys step up on opening day and just mow people down.
From other teams. Yeah. Corbin Burns was great. Yeah. I mean, even Lizardo really looked great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there were some guys like seriously shoving on opening day. And I think is that a little bit of a testament? I mean, I think we understand, right, that while Mitch Keller is a very good pitcher, and while I believe in Mitch Keller to be a very good pitcher, he probably best slots for a really good team in a number two spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could say he's probably fitting to be like, if he would have gone to Baltimore, he'd be their ace too. But not after they got Burns.
Right.
He would fall in under Burns, right? And so like that was a big deal. And I don't know. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm just spitballing a little bit here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he goes to Miami, does he get that start above Lizardo or does Lizardo get it? I mean, I think Lizardo probably gets the ball, but I think if Lizardo would have been traded to Pittsburgh, it'd been Mitch Keller. I think they're close. You know what I mean? They kind of had a similar path where it was a little bit slow going to kind of pick up on things. And so maybe a little bit of the same stuff, but you're right. I see what you're saying. There were some guys out there dealing on opening day and getting everybody super excited. And we did it a little bit different.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mitch Keller. Not worried. Bullpen goes 6 1/3, gives up one hit, and Luis Ortiz, two innings, was just electric. That was the Luis Ortiz when he came up that we were like, oh, what do we have here? You know what I mean? And it was like, maybe this bullpen thing is right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we saw a start today where I'd like, maybe we put Luis Ortiz in there. Or maybe we do what's best for Luis Ortiz because he looks great out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Maybe we do him better by keeping him in that role instead of...
just suffer through the Falter starts?
Well, I would hope it's somebody other than Falter. I mean, Quinn Priester was dealing today in AAA. I mean, why don't we just swap them? They're on the same schedule. They both pitched today or Sunday for whatever day you're listening to this. I mean, if Priester and Falter are pitching on the same day... that's an easy switch out. I thought Priester could have made this roster. I mean, I was vocal about that. But he had nine strikeouts and 5 2/3 today in Indy. I mean, just the thing is, and this is what I said was going to happen with Priester. He's shown all he has to show down there.
Yeah.
He has to see if those pitches get guys out here. And he's not going to be able to find that out in AAA.
Nope.
But to me, it gives you a better chance than Bailey Falter does.
Yeah. I think we have a few options that give you a better chance than Bailey Falter.
Bring Jackson Wolf back from waivers, put him in on the rotation. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, listen to this, man. We talked about the bullpen right there. Fleming, Stratton, Barucki, Chapman, Ortiz, Hernandez, who got his first career save in that first game. They go 6 1/3, give up one hit, and that was Hunter Stratton. And then in game two, it's Ryder Ryan and Fleming, 4 2/3 inning. They followed Perez. Three innings by Fleming, one run. Game three.
Solid outing.
Yeah, Barucki, Stratton, Hernandez, and Bednar, 3 1/3. And then today, on Sunday, Luis Ortiz with another two innings. Barucci threw, Chapman threw, and I'll give you a second on that one. Bednar threw, and Hunter Stratton threw. Bednar gives up the home run on a splitter that was in a terrible location. It was a bad pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Every other pitch he threw was great.
Yeah.
Everything you want to see from Bednar. The day before, even better. He looked, I think Pitching Ninja called it unfair. So now let me go back because I know you had a comment about what you saw from Chapman today.
Dude. So I had my phone propped up at work, right? And I'm just watching it. And I, younger kid over to my right, I'm like, watch this, dude. 101. Gas. I see, here comes another one. 100 miles an hour. Slider just falling off the screen. I'm like, this is fun to watch. Fandom, as you were calling it before, what we were talking before, it comes into play, man. And I found myself being like, I love watching this dude in a Pirates uniform.
I saw a couple things during that at bat that I really, that I kind of laughed at a little bit, but also what I saw from the Jazz Chisholm at bat and Tim Anderson right after him.
Mm-hmm.
The pitches, the sequence that he threw, and he, you know, when he strikes you out, he does a little, maybe he did a little talking to Jazz, maybe there was something there, but Jazz kind of gave him a smile and nodded his head. He's obviously not taking offense to it. I saw, and I thought when I saw Jazz, I was like, there was a little bit of respect there.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz is, you know, he knew he was beat.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was not going to hit that. And he kind of gave him a little, yeah, dang it, I could have got Chapman, right? Yeah. And then Tim Anderson follows with, I mean, just a great sequence. And Chapman finishes that at bat to end the inning with that frozen, you know, legs out, just frozen, looking tough or mean or whatever. And Tim Anderson gave him a big smile and walking away, nodding his head. And it was another one of those like, oh, and that's what it felt like, right? And they showed mm-hmm. Chapman when they came back from the break. They showed him from the front where he was all mean mugging, and you saw him crack. With a little smirk on his face. And it was like, because he knew, like, he, it's not a tough thing. Like, he it was like a way of saying, like, hat tip, man, you've been doing this for a long time. I was impressed with that from two guys, actually, who maybe you wouldn't expect that from.
Right.
So I thought that was a pretty cool moment. You got Ryder Ryan in that first getting his first win. That was the second game, right? Yeah, the second game. Hernandez in the first game, first career save. And then on Saturday, first career win. We're finally getting to it. Jared Jones.
Nasty.
5 2/3, 3 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, 22 swings and misses. Couple numbers here for you, Jake. 40 sliders, 10 out of 17 swings were whiffs. That's 59%. Excuse me. 9 of them were called strikes. 38 four seams. 11 out of 26 were whiffs. That's 42%. Still a lot on the fastball. 4 of them were called strikes. Getting the fastball and curveball over 2,700 RPMs. And if you, you know, I don't dig a ton into spin, I don't pay a lot of attention, but basically that's a high number.
Yeah. Yeah.
The total average of all of his pitches was over 2,500. Spinning the ball well, throwing it hard, 99.9 max velo. Kudos to Brian Reynolds for the throw from the outfield over 100. But Jared Jones, that was one of the most exciting debuts by a pitcher that I can remember. There's a short list.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to see a lot of it. I went back and had to rewatch some of it. Dude, it was just filthy. He's filthy.
When you are watching this game, probably more so live, right? Because you already knew what happened before you watched it. When you're watching it live, there's those nerves of like, this next pitch could be a bomb. this next pitch could blow the whole thing up or whatever. And man, you just, as a fan, you couldn't help but watch that and say, hey, I think we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We know that Skeens threw earlier in the day and was dominant. We know that he's just a routine away from being up here,
mm-hmm.
right? Now you got Jones, who is as advertised, showing why he earned a spot and a lot of buzz nationally about what happened. And you still got Keller, who you like. This 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
However it shapes up, right? But all of a sudden, the Pirates have three legit arms, and you're like, we're going to be okay. This is new for us, Jake. Pirates fans don't have pitching, right? We had to go get A.J. Burnett. We had to go fix Liriano. We had to fix Volquez for that minute he was here. You know what I mean? Like, all these guys that were really good here, we either fixed them or we went out and kind of got them or whatever, except for, what, Gerrit Cole? I mean, Tyone had his moments, but the injuries just kind of got in the way there. But, like, Gerrit Cole, you know what I'm saying? We had that. Even, like, when Joe Musgrove was here, he wasn't this. I felt like a little bit similar to Keller, right? He was a little bit similar to Keller. Like, he's doing the things. Like, he's going to be good. We all knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of a little bit of weight on it, a little bit of bad starts. It's just going to balloon the ERA, but he's a really good pitcher. And this is different, man. This feels different. And I'm not saying everything's going to go that way. I'm just saying how I felt watching him pitch on Saturday, right?
Right.
And I know that he's going to take his lumps. And I know that everything is, you know, they got to play the games.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway from it is what you said, pitching doesn't come to the Pirates very often, and I'm used to watching other people's pitchers and highlights just being like, dang, man, like, these dudes are so good. I just wish the Pirates, and I found myself going, dang, this dude is so good, and he is a bucko. You know what I mean? I felt like I was watching somebody else's pitcher, because that's what we've been watching for so long, right?
That was an exciting debut. We've had, O'Neill Cruz was very exciting, right? When he came up, and you know, couple days, we finally got the home run. We had the throw across the infield. We had the sprint speed. We had the whole thing. And that was super exciting. But that doesn't happen on the pitching side. And it did Saturday. It happened Saturday, right? Yeah. We'll see how it continues. Obviously, baseball is still baseball. But we're just talking about Saturday here. And that's the way it felt on Saturday. Incredibly impressed. Yeah. I want to talk more about it, right? But we do have a show that we have to keep moving on. So we have to move on to Sunday and Bailey Falter and the absolute non-competitiveness to start the game. We knew it was going to be rough. He's so far away from throwing a strike to the first two guys. The jokes came out. Everybody was basically giving up. When he gives up the grand slam, we were actually just sitting down to eat here, and I walk in, and our mom and dad was out for Easter today, and so I was like, we get and sit down, and our mom's a big Pirates fan too, guys. Let's not kid around. Like, she's, you know, what's going on in the game? You know, I go in there, and I said, well, that's a grand slam. We're down 5-0. We don't even have an out. And she goes, what are we doing? What she said, oh, for crying out loud, and like, is what she said. And she's like, why do they even throw this guy? He shouldn't even be there. It was funny. And then she's like, well, we're not coming back now, not with that lineup. And I was like, you are basically on Twitter and you don't even know it.
That's funny.
The game, you know, you've already won the series. You do kind of swallow it. You do kind of say, well, let, you know, it's the first inning, chip away, see what you can do. And I kind of said, like, hey, we've scored more than 5 runs in every game of this series. And yeah, I know the lineup, but you get this guy out and the lineup's going to change. I mean, they're using pinch hitters in every game.
Yeah.
And which I think is really interesting. Sometimes one of the biggest gripes I've had about DH lineups is that you just go out there and you just play the game. And that's not the case. Like, they're making moves. They're looking at matchups, and so far they've done actually a really good job. Shelton has done a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, the Olivares pinch hit. I mean, there was a couple other moments where they got a guy out. Today they put Michael A. Taylor in for Olivares, and it worked out. You know what I'm saying? And it's so like, it was like they're playing some matchups, and right now, I mean, you're winning 4-0, they're going to work, right? If you're 0-4, they're not working. That's basically how it goes. Or I guess if they're working, you end up 4-0. If they're not working, you might end up 0-4 is how the other way around, right? But I got to tell you, like, you know, I was texting with Brock today. I don't know how much he's firing at you, but, you know, I was just saying, like, hey, this is – this whole thing, the comeback, the whole thing, this was right after Telez hit the home run. And I kind of had this. This is a good lesson in baseball fandom, right? The team did not panic. Telez was 0-for-3 with 3 Ks before that home run. He didn't pout. He kept grinding his at-bats. Trust the process. There's 9 innings for a reason. And how many times did this team refuse to end the inning in this game, right? Let's talk about, I got this wrote down here. You got the second inning. You got an out. You got 2 singles. You got the second out. So, yeah, you've got guys on first and second, but you've got 2 down. Then you get an Alika Williams triple where we know really should have been a 1 RBI double, but either way. You get the triple that scores 2. Then a 6-pitch walk. Another walk to load the bases. Reynolds gets down 1-2. Gets 2 balls. It's now a full count again for a full count for the first time in this game. Full count, 2 outs. Guys are going. Fouls off 3, then gets an RBI single. 2 more innings later, the 4th inning. First 2 guys out. You're already down, 2 down. Joe has a 5-pitch single. Reynolds walks. Hayes drives in Joe with a single. It's a 1-run game. Give up the home run. Fast forward to the 7th inning. Hayes walk. Olivares singles. We're in business. All of a sudden, a flyout and a strikeout. And you think in your head, Pirates get 2 guys on, they can't bring them in, right?
Yeah.
And then Rowdy gets an at-bat to a full count, fouls off 3, gets his pitch, 3-run homer. This is the guy who's 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. You just had 2 outs after you had 2 guys on. And even in that inning, you're saying we're done, right? And then in the 10th, go-ahead run in after the bunts and all that stuff. 2 runners on, 2 strikeouts. And you're like, here they go again. Except Hayes goes down 0-2, sees 3 more pitches, gets a single, loads the bases. Taylor draws a 7-pitch walk to score a run, grinding it out. You can't put this team away right now.
Yeah.
And in the first couple games, you started to feel like, oh, these Pirates are up to their same old things, right? And you look at it and you're like, yeah, their Triolo had a 2-out RBI, 2-for-17, runners in scoring position, left 13 on. And a little bit more, a couple 2-out RBIs, Cruz and Joe, but 3-for-12, 9 runners left on. Still scored 7 runs in 6 runs and 7 runs. And then 9 runs in the next 2 games. And listen to this, man. 2-out RBIs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 9 runs, 7 of them came with 2 outs on Saturday. All of a sudden, you're 7-for-16 with runners in scoring position. And you still leave 12 on base, but that's because you had a bunch of people on base. So that's going to happen. 12 on base again, but you're 5-for-16. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 RBIs with 2 outs, Jake. That's so different.
Yeah.
That's so different.
It sure is.
And that's one of the things that, like, once you got this team to 2 outs, it was like, yeah, I understand. We got guys on second, third. We're not getting that run in. And in the first game, you saw a lot of that where you were saying, we're not going to get that run in. We saw a little bit more putting the ball in play with 2 outs rather than strikeouts than you were in maybe specifically that first game.
Yeah.
But this is a team that's not going to quit, dude.
No, they're going to battle. They're in for it. Like they're here for it. It's fun to watch. It's just fun to watch. Like there's just no easy outs.
I think that's the big thing, right? Ryan Weathers said after his game, he's like, "Man, I honestly think I threw the ball well. These guys just that out pitch is, it's hard to put them away. And there was a couple times on in Saturday's game where it's like you had the you were one strike away from being out of the inning, and you threw double digits more pitching or more pitches to get out of that inning. Those are huge things for a team to move, especially in a four-game series when you were like, we played an extra inning game. Now let's get to their bullpen early. And they kept doing it, like, you know, to last Lizardo there. And and then push Puck out early, and then they just kept doing it, right? They taxed the bullpen. They had to call up somebody else, and they had to throw him for like three innings on Sunday because, you know, I mean, Tellez hit the three-run homer off of that guy. He faced him again. Because they're like, dude, it's your game. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things. And that's what you can do to a team in a four-game set when you can make them use a lot of relief pitchers. And, you know, I just thought it was really good. I mean, that was the whole thing about Fleming going three innings in Perez's game, because they were like, we're going to save this bullpen if we can. You know, I just really impressed by a lot of what we saw.
Yeah.
There's obviously still too many called strikes, too many strikeouts looking. There was a couple, specifically Jack Sawinski at bats, that just looked like that it was over before it got started. And like I said, a lot of that is like, man, I'm not at game speed right now. I haven't, I've barely played in 2 days, 3 days. I'm not at game speed. And, you know, he's still able to have some good at bats.
Yeah, I mean, you think about Jack Sawinski for a second. We played our last spring training game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we didn't open the season till Thursday.
And we played one on Monday, I thought.
Monday?
Yeah.
Then we didn't start the season till Thursday, and he didn't play the first two games. Like,
he got two at bats on the opener. I forget what he did the one at bat, but he walked. And then in the second game, and he came in late, right? In the second game, he was 0 for 2. No strikeouts still. And then they put him in to start against the lefty when it's like, I've got two at bats a night, you know, whatever. 1 for 5, 2 strikeouts, but he did hit the RBI single that was big. And then he started again, 1 for 6, 2 strikeouts. And the thing is like, he's still okay right now. Like, there's still some at bats that are good, but there's been at least 2 at bats that were 3 pitches, and like he swung at one of those 6 pitches. It felt like it might have been 2, but that, you know, just off the top of my head, like it just felt like that at bat just kind of steamrolled him a little bit. And I think that and Tellez had a bat similar to that in one of the games where it was just like, you know, I looked up and it was like, crap, I'm going back to the dugout now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that there's some of those things that are still things that he's going to have to obviously just get into his routine and get playing some games. And maybe that game speed kind of a thing he can catch up to, because right now that's what it looked like to me. And it happened with a few guys at different points. It just seemed to happen a little more often with a guy like him. But it is just kind of one of those things where you're saying, you know, early in the season, you got to get into routine. But it's also that this team is kind of waiting guys out, making them throw a ton of pitches, things like that. And sometimes that approach is going to get you eaten alive by a guy who comes out there and just throws you. I mean, I remember one of the at-bats was maybe like 2 breaking balls, and he fouled the second one off. And then just pops a fastball in there, and he just couldn't get the bat off his shoulder. He just locked him up.
Locked him up.
Yeah. And it's like, as a pitcher, you're like, wow, yeah, you got him. As a fan, you're like, come on, man, swing the bat. You know what I mean? It's just like such a different. But there was another bat where it was like 2 hittable pitches, and you're like, bro, swing at that first one. But you know what, Jake? He had 2 at-bats that he swung at the first pitch, and he's 0 for 2 on those at-bats. So I also just, like, how do you say, oh, at least he didn't strike out. Like, no, I'd rather him just like find a pitch he can drive. And, you know, like I said, all this stuff comes around. You know, he gets into a hot streak, but literally it's been 3 games that he's played.
Yeah.
Really, when you come to think of it, 2 at-bats, 2 at-bats, and then 2 full games.
I feel like almost any reaction right now is an overreaction, right?
Yeah. I mean, part of our reaction, I mean, we're 4-0. We're on cloud 9 a little bit right now, right? Yeah. We're a little hot. Yeah. We're a little running a little hot right now. And that's fine. I'm not saying, you know, World Series, but we're pretty excited.
Yeah.
So you're right, though. It is. It's kind of an overreaction, no matter what way you look at it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can say the Jared Jones talk might be a little bit of an overreaction, but we've been seeing it most of the spring. This is a guy that was fighting for a job, like fighting for a spot. It's not like he was 16 innings and
didn't even give up a run.
Right. Yeah. So I think we're okay on the reaction with him.
Yeah. And I mostly spoke about how I felt watching the game, right? Like saying, well, he's just a stud immediately.
Yeah.
Cy Young, let's go. Right. It's just how you feel. And you know that there's a path. Mm-hmm. It's a good call out. There was some rust. There's some still early season things. Base running. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you don't. We probably did see base running mistakes in spring training, but you probably also said like they're not going to push. Like O'Neill Cruz is not going to tag up from second base on a fly ball to left field in spring training. Like, right. Hey, take it easy. But in the beginning of the season when the games count, you might see some of that aggressiveness, and that's what we saw, and he got thrown out. I've got to tell you, man, that was a perfect throw, and he wasn't out by a lot. I didn't like the decision to go there, but at the same time, like if he just throws it a little bit off, he might actually be there. And so, you know, what do you want? Do you want aggressiveness? Do you not want it? You know, you put a guy on third with one out in that case. So, you know, you do kind of like that, but I, you know, obviously I didn't think he was deep enough. But either way, and then there was, you know, Henry Davis being sent home, certainly being waived, thrown out by a mile. And we had Josh Bell at first base throw two guys out at home that you just were like, wait, I thought he couldn't throw. And, the other one was, we had O'Neill Cruz thrown out at home, which was also from what I'm hearing. And I didn't get to see the actual video on this or hear anybody talk about it, but when Triolo rounded second, the throw went home. It was cut off. Triolo is now in between. There's two outs. He's in between first. Did I say rounded second? He rounded first.
Yeah.
He's in between first and second. Thank you. And he's now caught. Mm-hmm. If you're O'Neill Cruz or anybody on third, you're like, well, I got to try to score here because the inning's going to end with me standing, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, I've heard that like Triolo's was sent there. Hey, get in a pickle. Let's get that running. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was the case or not, but it seemed like that's what
it just wasn't executed.
That's what I'm hearing. It wasn't executed. Well, it was executed well by the Marlins. You know, they made the one throw. It was thrown home. He was out by a mile. And it was kind of one of those things. It seemed like they executed well. There was hesitation on our side. And I think that's early season stuff.
Yeah.
I watched every single game on opening day. I do every year. I've got three monitors in front of me, essentially, with this one. I brought in a TV over there, which now is great because I've upgraded. Now I have a permanent 50-inch TV sitting over there. It's beautiful. It's like Dodgers-Cardinals on right now, unless that game's over. Looks like that game, it's on commercials. Anyway, I watched them all. I saw quite a few base running mistakes where guys are just standing in the middle getting tagged out. Yeah. This stuff happens. So I'm just not getting caught up on, well, we can't run the bases. And I got texts saying, our base running sucks. And it's like, bro, it's just, you know what I mean? Like it's day one. And actually, a lot of people complain about Henry Davis. And it's like, hey, it's not the play. It's not just the players. But like to say our base running is not good, it's okay to say our third base coach is not good. That's still part of the team. So it still fits. I'm not saying, well, they don't stink. They just have a bad coach. No, that means they stink because that coach is going to keep sending people. But I don't know why I always have to clarify everything. But either way, the point is like there's things to work out. There's things to iron out here. But I did see it around the league.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it with Shohei Ohtani rounding second, going to, you know what I mean? All that stuff. It's like.
Mm-hmm. The Reds had a couple. Ellie got caught up in between second and third. That was a real like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Kind of a moment. And so like it's going to happen this early. It's a cross between, like I said, you don't test it in spring training because it's not worth it.
Right.
And just so you have a little bit of that, let's be over aggressive for a minute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is what it is. I saw some good base running later in the series, but you're probably going to see maybe some other mistakes. It's fine. They should iron that out mm-hmm. in a couple weeks, right?
Right.
And then if they don't, then we can say, all right, this is becoming a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Air, same kind of a thing. I actually heard more complaints about the field. It's been a long time since I've heard somebody say, well, that field's not in good shape. Hmm. O'Neal Cruz took the one off the throat, which was not called an error. I mean, it was clearly an awful hop. Key had the one that you were talking about before we hit record, where it was like
bad hop, up
really bad
chest.
Hop. The first one by Key looked like it skipped in an odd way, but not too odd for him to field it. He usually can handle that.
Yeah.
But there was a couple other plays that kind of on both sides that kind of were like, I actually saw an interview with one of the Marlins players saying that he was pretty upset with them having the roof open. He's like, we play indoors. I don't know what they're doing. The sun was awful. We can't see in the outfield. I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah. Like, I wonder too, there was a the Sawinski catch, when Borecki was pitching on Sunday. He kind of was like back, and then it was like, I don't know where the ball is. Then he had to run way over to catch the ball.
I think that
made me a little nervous.
I think that was the wind, because earlier in the game, Triolo had to do the same exact thing on a really high infield pop-up. He had to do the same thing where he took off running towards first in order to catch the ball. And both of those, I did look back because I was like, man, Telez didn't look like his got all that affected. For what it's worth, 29-degree launch angle on Telez. Berger hit his with a higher velocity, but a higher angle, launch angle. Mm-hmm. So his got up higher in the air, which probably was why that wind kind of took it and kept it in the park, I bet, because that was a bomb off the bat.
Yeah.
And Sawinski went back for it, and I mean, like, everybody thought it was there, and then all of a sudden he had to take off running. And I think that wind is not an issue in a dome. But with that roof open, it seemed like when it got to a certain height, it was messing with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was necessarily it, but with Triolo and Sawinski having to do that and a couple of foul balls that were hit that looked like they shouldn't have been as difficult as they were. And so, there were some things like that I was like, okay, something, you know, and they were like the Marlins players were complaining about it, saying, you know, I don't know why all of a sudden we think we're going to do this. It also makes for a terrible broadcast.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, there's just a black wall there, and then all of a sudden they readjust the exposure, and it's, oh, so you barely get to see whether the ball's going to hit or not and all that stuff. So anyway, Nationals series coming up. Mm-hmm. We got games on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday with Tuesday off. I will say that they're calling for rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So if they're canceled Monday, Tuesday might not be a good day either. But if it's okay Tuesday, I wouldn't be surprised if they move Wednesday's game to Tuesday. I just wouldn't be surprised if they overreacted some way that way. So we may get
a rain. I would be surprised on that one.
Okay. We may get a rain out. Gonzalez versus McKenzie Gore on Monday. Keller versus Trevor Williams on Wednesday. Perez versus Josiah Gray on Thursday. Gray was four innings pitched, 8 hits, 7 runs, 2 homers, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts against the Reds on the Reds opening day or home opener opening day on opening day. So Josiah Gray is going to be kind of coming at you hot.
Sure.
A little bit of vengeance there. So good one there. We're wrapping it up here. We're going to be at the home opener. Both of us are going to be there. We're going to be in town the night before. So we'll be there all day on Friday, at the game, hanging out after the game for a while. Right. I think, I mean, they're going to have to kick me out of maybe, I don't really know, but excuse me. But we're going to be there. It is in season, right? And so we've been talking about it. We are going to try to do Friday episodes as well this year. So much to our, we were like, we're not going to do them. And then I was like, we kind of have to do them. So we're going to try to do one at the home opener. If things work well, then we'll have one on Friday. If not, beat the O's. Win that series. We'll have Jared Jones, I assume, for the home opener. Super exciting.
Rain outs.
It probably, yeah, that it might change. You're right. If we get a game rained out, they might change the rotation a little bit and push it back. If so, we'll have Keller or Perez. So
maybe not. I mean, who knows?
Right. You just don't know. So anyway, you got anything to finish it out? I mean, opening day here, man. I mean, the season started. We're rolling.
Yeah, and we're off to a good start. So
they do another. I mean,
nothing else you can ask for.
20-8 last year, but we started 1-2.
Right.
So you're gonna play hot in the first month, and let's do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, it was fun.
Yeah.
Happy April Fool's Day to everybody listening to this on Monday. We quit and stuff like that. Never hear from us again.
Yeah, all right. That's not happening.
Let's get out of here.
All right.
Let's go Bucks.
Let's go Bucks. Let's go Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go Bucks.